You know, I purposely asked Doug to lead those songs tonight, at least specifically one of them, and that was the one that we just sang. But in the other songs, it talks about the light of the gospel, and it talks about the fact that we should hasten to the place where God shows his face. And I can't think of any finer place in the world to be than in the house of God when God shows his face among us. For the book of Matthew 18 tells us that God is with us where two or more gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But in that last hymn we sang, I mentioned to you this morning that I was going to speak on the subject, the lamp of life immortal. You know, God realized, being the great omniscient God and omnipotent God that he is, that man could not live without light. The first commandment of our Father in heaven was this one, to let there be light. Let there be light. And so God created the light. He created the sun to guide the day and the moon to guide the night. You know, there are all kinds of lamps if you really stop and think about it. And in that song, that's really what he's talking about. There is what we call the lantern lamp. Many of you have a lantern lamp. Maybe you have one by your bedside. We call it a bedside lamp. And then there is the Britannica lamp also that looks much like the bedside lamp. There is the one that we call the tree lamp. Many of you have one. We have one of those in our den. And then there is the night light lamp, and we have those placed around our house. Most people do, just in the event that you have to get up in the middle of the night, and chances are, when you get my age, you're going to do that, probably more than once. But anyway, there is the makeup lamp. Maybe some of you ladies have those, and maybe you use them in the morning when you put your makeup on or you work on your hair, whatever it happens to be. But as I was perusing the internet, I discovered that there are actually hundreds of differing kinds of lamps. And when you go through the Bible, it is amazing how many of those that you read about in the Word of God, believe it or not. When I think about a lamp, I think about the lamp of Almighty God. In that song, it says, give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior is near. Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up the splendor by the open grave. If we ever needed a light by an open grave, it is now. Sometimes people are so fearful of dying or perhaps leaving this world to be ushered into the great beyond. And so he says, hold up the splendor by the open grave and show me the light from heaven's shining portals and show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. Well, what is this life lamp, or the one that we call the lamp of life, or the life immortal? You see, God is an immortal light. Maybe you've been to John F. Kennedy's graveside in the Washington area. We had the opportunity to do that, to see what they call the eternal flame. But I can tell you that the eternal flame is the Bible. It is the Word of God. It is the real eternal flame. And it will burn brightly, and it will never, ever go out. Maybe some of you have seen those candles for you, maybe for your birthday or whatever they have on the cake, and they try to blow them, extinguish them, but they don't go out. They come right back on. Well, sometimes that's the way the Word of God is with us. That's the way that we perceive it. In Psalms 119 and 105, however, David said, thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. You know, a lamp is something that you do not use actually outside. It is something that's very small. It certainly is significant, all right, but it is something that you place within your house somewhere to light up a specific area. And he says, the Word of God is a lamp to my feet. In other words, right now, I can light up this area with a lamp. But then he said, it is a light to my pathway. It's like a flashlight that you're shining in a path for you to walk. And that's the way God's word is, isn't it? God speaks to us in the present, in the now. And he delivers unto us the things that are most comforting by his lamp of life immortal, the word of God. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Jesus even himself said in John 8 and verse 12 that I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in the 8th chapter and verse 16 of the book of Luke, Jesus said, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. You know, God not only is the light himself, the Bible says of him that he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is referred to as the light of God. But even God's children are referred to as the light. But we are reflecting the greater light, which is the light of God. It's like the moon, and I've told you before, it's like the moon, the sun. You see, the sun reflects on the moon. The moon has no light at all. It doesn't. People go out and say, oh, isn't that a beautiful harvest moon? You could say, well, boy, isn't that reflection beautiful coming from the sun and shining on the moon? Because that's where the light really comes from. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It is not a self-starter. But it bears the light of the sun. And you and I, as God's children, are to bear the light of God in our lives. The Bible says that we are to manifest our light wherever we go, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, this lamp of life immortal actually tells of God's love. It tells of God's grace. And there's so many things about God we could mention. It tells about God's Son, Jesus our Lord. It tells us about God's heaven. We often think about that's our place of dwelling. But you know what? That is the dwelling place of the Almighty as well. He resides in heaven. Now, that's not to say that God does not make his presence felt here. And that's why we hasten to the place where God shows his face and the face of God. But it tells of the devil's hell as well. God tells us about the blessings of following the immortal light, but he also tells us about the dangers of not doing so. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalms 18 and verse 28. The descriptions of the lamp of God bring to our remembrance several things that I want to mention to you. First of all, this lamp of life immortal is a reading lamp. It is. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we can read the Word of God. We would be unable to read it, however, without a light. But because these lights have illuminated this room, you and I can see. We can see the songs in the songbook. We can see each other. But this reading lamp is one that reveals unto us the very thoughts of our God who is in heaven. You know, sometimes we make the mistake of saying that the Bible contains the mind of God. It doesn't contain the mind of God. It is the mind of God. You see, a container is something that holds something else. These beautiful flowers up here. Jan Todd did that. Gary did the biggest part of it, I think. But anyway, they did a wonderful, masterful job of doing that. And, you know, they do a great job. And this beautiful vase was, or vase, however you want to call it, was donated by Cheryl Ellis. And we appreciate it so much. But the vase is the container, and the contents are the flower. And now think about this a minute. The Bible contains the Word of God, all right, but the Bible is the container as well. You can't separate the two. But the thoughts of God are revealed. I like to go to bed at night sometimes and I'll read from my Bible or good spiritual book. And I'll, you know, turn a little lamp on or leave a light on or whatever. But the lamp is what I use mainly. And we all do that, perhaps. But that's really what it's all about. God reveals His plans for us in His book. For Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong to us. And there are many things that are revealed for us in the Word of God. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law that God has given. It's amazing, isn't it, that God uses this analogous term, light, for the Word of God itself. But your Word is a lamp unto my feet, and then that light to my pathway. The unfolding of God's Word gives light, according to David in Psalms 119 and verse 130. By the way, that is the longest chapter in all of the Bible, and it's interesting to me how he uses light in that particular chapter to unveil for us how important light really is. You know, when God created life, he certainly knew what he was doing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I wonder how much forethought God actually gave to the creativity of the world. I think he gave a whole lot of thought to it. He says, behold, my thoughts are above your thoughts, and my ways are above your ways. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. But the Word of God, this lamp of life immortal, is not only that lamp beside the bed. It is also a heating lamp. You know, on a cold night, it warms the soul. You know, this last week, we had a few weary days, dreary days. You know, it looked like it was going to really, really get bad. The weather was bad, and it was cloudy, and it looked like it was becoming prematurely dark. And you know, those are days that kind of get you down and depressed. And I'm told that people have more problems with depression during the winter months than any other time. And maybe that's because of that. But when it is cold, we like to nestle up to a warm fire. And you know what? The Word of God is like a fire. It warms our hearts. It does. God created sunshine so our hearts could feel the warmth of His love. The spirit of man is a lamp, the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, and God wants us to shine. There is that heating lamp. You know, we have some of those in our classrooms just as supplementary things in the event that the big units don't come on like they ought to. That has happened before. Heat exchangers sometimes don't work, but we hope we've got all of that resolved. But you will change the world just by being a warm, kind-hearted human being. And that's what God says about you. But then there is what we call the miner's lamp. And we're all aware of those, that they are banded around their head and they have the light right out front. And if you're not real familiar with that, I have depicted it here for you. And miners wear those in caves where it is so dark. I remember hearing a story one time about Carlsbad Caverns. I've never been there. But they were telling the story about this family who went there one time. And while they were there, you know, they turn off all the lights and they sing Amazing Grace. Can't see your hand out in front of your face. I mean, it's just total darkness. It may be like the outer darkness that Christ speaks about in the book of Matthew 25. And anyway, as they began to sing that song, the little girl began to cry. She was about 5 years old, and her little brother, who was 7 years old, said, "Sis, don't cry. There's someone up there that can turn the light on." And you know what? In any situation we find ourselves, there is someone up there, and that's our God, who can turn on the light. He is the one who lights our way. When we feel like that there is no light at the end of the tunnel, we know that God is still there. And so don't fall prey to Satan, because the Bible even says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Isn't that amazing? He tries to get as close to God as he possibly can in terms of what he's doing. Satan is not the real thing, but he tries to project himself as one who is the real thing. For that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 14 also says. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And he does. We have to be concerned about the angelic forces of evil just as we are about the angelic forces of righteousness, the angel of light. And then there is, fourthly, that night lamp that we mentioned a moment ago that shines into darkness. And it comes on when it gets dark. You know, some of our lights around this building are so equipped to where they have a photo cell and they come on when it gets dark. But sometimes it has to get real dark. I've noticed on the sign out there, Dwight, that it seems as though it has just to almost get pitch dark before that light comes on out there right now. I don't know. It used to come on, it would get dusk and the light would come on the church sign. Someone told me one time, they said, you know that the church sign is not working? And I said, it's not. And anyway, I found out what it was. It was the fact that it just hadn't got dark enough. But you know, that's when the moon really shines, isn't it? When our world becomes so dark. And isn't that when God really shines? When our life is so complicated and there's so many issues, we have guard lights out here on the premises. For those at night as a safety concern. And in Psalms 121 and verse 2, David said, my help comes from the Lord, maker of the heaven and the earth. He is our help. He is our refuge, the Bible says in Psalms 46 and verse 1, and a strength and a very present help in trouble. You are the light of the world, Jesus said, Matthew 5 and verse 14. And he goes on to say, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under that basket, but you put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all that are there. But too often, our light is not what it ought to be. You know, there's just nothing to me that's more irritating than a fluorescent light. And by the way, we've just changed all of those out there in the vestibule to where they come on real quickly. So it's a different type fluorescent light. It's a whole lot brighter. But there is nothing more irritating than to have a fluorescent light and it flickering on and off, maybe like this light. Maybe you're closely resembling it. But too often, that's the way our light is in the world, and we do not shine brightly for others to see. But in John 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should remain in darkness. God wants us to walk in the light. And even if you read over in John's epistle to the church in 1 John 1 and verse 7, he says that we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us of our sin. So we are to live in the light. You know, if you don't stay in the presence of God, you cannot bear the reflection of God. You have to stay in a position where you can bear that reflection. And then there is what we call the safety lamp. And it never, ever leads astray. There are three things that the lamp of God will bring. Number one, the lamp of God brings clarity. It does, doesn't it? It's kind of like being in the abstract when there's no light. But the lamp of God removes fear, doesn't it? It does. When you can turn a light on at night, it takes away the fear. The scary things happen in the dark, and the lamp of God's goodness actually scares away the darkness and removes the fear. Have you ever been startled by a shadow in the middle of the night? No. No, shadows don't hurt you. And that's why in the book of Psalms 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he talks about the shadow of death. But a shadow can't hurt you. Can't. Now, so he goes on to say Thirdly, that the lamp of God keeps you from harm. It's dangerous to walk around at night without a light. Really is. You can trip and fall and step on a sharp object. Why, you could hurt yourself in a great way. You might fall in a hole. And, you know, you don't have the light, so you don't know what's out front of you. Everything is uncertain. But in 2 Samuel 22 and 29, the man of God said, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness." It takes it away. For the word of God is a lamp by night, a light by day, and a delight at all times. Never, ever let the light of God go out in your life. For the Bible says also in the book of Isaiah 9 and verse 2, that the people that walked in darkness, past tense, have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. Isn't it wonderful that we could truly say tonight that the light of God is shining upon us? It is. For the people living in darkness have seen that great light. It has dawned. God is this and so much, much more. The lamp of life immortal. For the light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Remember that little song we used to sing years ago? It was called "Give Me Oil in My Lamp, Keep Me Burning." I remember doing that in Vacation Bible School. You know what we all ought to say? God, give me oil in my lamp. Remember the story about the virgins, the five wise, the five foolish? They were foolish because they didn't carry oil in their lamp to keep the lamp trimmed and burning. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. And that's when we come up out of that water grave of baptism, that we start bearing the resemblance of our God who is in heaven. I hope you're hearing this tonight. It really is important. It's important that we live our lives in the light. For Isaiah 2 says, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And that's where we ought to be walking. God is that light. You can't put him out. You may try to dismiss him, but he is always there. And I'm thankful that he is. If you're here tonight, maybe you've been walking in darkness. Maybe there's some things in your life that you'd like to adjust tonight. You've tried to do it on your own, but it hadn't worked, and you need the help of God and the prayers of the body of Jesus tonight. We invite you to come, and we'll be happy to assist you in whatever your need may be. Let us stand and let us sing.